Well, when people face trials and difficult decisions, they often question where to turn for help. Who will help me? Who will bring me justice for being wronged? Who will have mercy on me? Well, the answer, according to the Bible, is that there is only one true God who is able to help us, who we should turn to for justice, who gives us mercy, and who gives us instructions on how to live. So it is crucial to be clear about what God requires from us and what is important to him. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus addresses the religious leaders of that day, and he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." So Jesus emphasizes that justice, mercy, and faith are extremely important to God, which is a reference back to Micah chapter 6. By studying and applying these principles, we gain a better understanding of God's character and what he desires from us. So today we will explore the essential topics of justice, mercy, and faith found in the book of Micah. First, let's look at justice. Well, God is a God of justice. He sent the prophet Micah to confront the leaders of Israel directly, condemning their corrupt behavior. Micah prophesied during the reigns of kings Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, as noted in Micah chapter 1, verse 1. Let's turn to Micah chapter 3. In Micah chapter 3, the leaders of Israel are accused of oppressing their fellow Israelites, prophesying lies and worshiping idols. Micah 3, verse 1. "Hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice?" So God calls out the leaders, questioning why they, of all people, do not understand and practice justice. Let's continue in verse 9. Micah 3, verse 9 describes the extent of their corruption. "Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, 'Is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us.'" The leaders falsely believed that God's presence among them would shield them from consequences, even as they acted unjustly. God warned that there would be consequences for sin and injustice, and that punishment would come. They turned a blind eye to their own unjust actions. Well, today, the expression "justice is blind" means that justice should be impartial and objective. In the United States, courtrooms often feature a statue of a blindfolded woman holding some scales, and it represents the ideal that judgments should not be influenced by outward appearances, wealth, or personality. However, this ideal is not always met. It is important to reflect on our own personal actions. Do we show partiality or favoritism in our decisions at home or at work? Treating some people differently because we get along with them better or holding them to a different standard is not acceptable in God's eyes. Instead, we should strive to make fair and equal judgments based on biblical principles, because that is what God values in both our leaders and ourselves. God's impartial justice is a model for us to follow. The second topic is mercy. So in addition to being just, God is merciful. All people are sinners and deserve the death penalty for breaking God's law. However, because Jesus came and died for us, forgiveness is possible. God is merciful because he loves mercy. If you turn to Micah chapter 7 and verse 18, Micah chapter 7 and verse 18, here it says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." These verses highlight God's character. He forgives, shows compassion, and delights in mercy. And we are called to emulate this godly behavior and to show mercy in our interactions with others. When the Pharisees criticized Jesus' disciples for picking grain on the Sabbath, Jesus replied, "If you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless or the innocent." And here he's quoting Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. Jesus pointed out that a lack of mercy leads to the suffering and wrongful persecution of innocent people. We should be ready to show mercy to those in need, even on the Sabbath, such as helping someone with a flat tire or assisting someone who is injured or hungry. And we would hope for mercy if we were in their situation. God does not remain angry forever. When people repent and turn to him, he delights in extending mercy and forgiveness. And once he forgives our sins, he throws them into the depths of the sea, never to be seen again. This is a comforting assurance that we can move on from sins we have repented of. God is merciful, and he loves those who show mercy to others. The third topic is faith. Let's turn to Micah chapter 6, and we'll look at the context. Chapter 6 opens with what resembles a court case between God and Israel. God instructs Israel to present their case before the mountains, the hills, and the foundations of the earth. These are ancient witnesses who have seen everything that have happened. God questions Israel about what he has done to deserve their unfaithfulness, reminding them of his past acts of deliverance, such as bringing them out of Egypt and turning the curses of Balak, son of king of Moab, into blessings through Balaam. Well, despite all these reminders, Israel responds with sarcasm, asking what they could possibly offer to please God: burnt offerings, thousands of rams, rivers of oil, or even their firstborn children. Well, Micah 6, verse 8 answers this clearly. "He has shown you, O man, what is good." Israel had no excuse, just as we have no excuse today. God sent many prophets to teach and warn, and their messages are recorded in the Bible for all of us to read. Micah 6, verse 8 continues, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" These are not mere suggestions. These are requirements. To do justly means to be fair and impartial in our decisions. To love mercy means to actively seek opportunities to be merciful and to take joy in it. To walk humbly with God means to live with humility, recognizing that pride separates us from God. This humility is connected to faith, for without faith it is impossible to please God, as it says in Hebrews 11, verse 6. God desires to walk with those who are humble and faithful. And God's requirements for justice, mercy, and humble faith represent godly actions. We are called to embody these qualities in our daily lives. So in conclusion, justice, mercy, and faith are described as the weightier matters of the law throughout the Bible and demonstrated here in the book of Micah. These topics are central for anyone seeking to walk with God in humility, to show justice and mercy to family and others, and to demonstrate faith through works. Are you emulating Jesus Christ in your thoughts and actions, allowing him to live in you every day? Living as a Christian requires faith, not just our own, but the faith of Jesus, which is a gift from God, a living faith. We should ask God for more faith every day. God wants us to act as he does so that he will be pleased with us, desiring to walk with us now, today, and for us to dwell with him in his kingdom forever.